Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to the Truth and Reconciliation Roundtable Special on 770 CHQR, Calgary's News, Today's Talk. Listening to the Truth and Reconciliation Roundtable Special on 630 CHED, Edmonton's News, Today's Talk.
One week from today is the National Truth and Reconciliation Day, the second such occasion in our country, and as sort of a preview as to what we'll be doing on that day, we're going to have a conversation today with some special guests and just talk. It's been such an eventful year. If you think about everything that's gone on thus far in our country around truth and reconciliation, of course, we had the papal visit and the discovery of the unmarked graves in several occasions across the country. So there's been a lot of conversation around this, and maybe a good time to sort of sit back and take a look at where we started, where we've come, and where we still need to go. So joining us to help us with that conversation today, we have Dr. Crystal Fraser, who's an assistant professor in the Faculty of Native Studies and the Faculty of Arts at the U of A. We have Chief Greg Desjarlais from Frog Lake First Nation, and Paul Custer, Calgary writer, comedian, former broadcaster, and an Indigenous advocate. First of all three of you, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today. I really do appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Why don't we just start sort of summing up the year? I know there's been so much. It's not going to be easy, but it's been a lot happening. What do you think has been accomplished? What sort of progress has been made? Chief Desjarlais, let's start with you. If you look back at the year, and I know you were involved in the papal visit, where do you think we've come in the past 12 months?
Well, first of all, I'm thankful to be on the call. I think what's important is for non-Indigenous Canada and the world to see the truth and what our people have gone through. You know, when we look back at a treaty, the promise was to share the land in peace. And our people have been through so much atrocities. And it's only a matter of time that the truth shall come out, because we forget when we do these oaths, it's under the eye of our God or a creator, we call him. You know, and I think that moving forward, you know, the truth has to be told before there can be reconciliation. And with the Pope coming, that's a start. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to forgive in order to heal. But that doesn't not mean that the government, the church, have to own up to their wrongs. You have to own up to it when you're wrong. When a child is wrong, he has to own up. So that's the same dilemma we're in here. And I think this is only a start. You can put on an orange shirt, you know, but it's more than just an orange shirt. These kids that were found were somebody's kids, grandkids, brothers, sisters, you know. And to me, it's like a crime scene, mm-hmm. You know. And I am raw. I'm to the point. I don't hold back, because, you know what, we're not talking about it. And what are the next steps?
Right. Yeah. And we'll get to that. We definitely, I want to spend a lot of time talking about that, because I think you're right, Chief. That needs to be our focus. But, Paul, let's take a look back at the year, because, like we say, there's been so much happen. If you sort of chart back, you know, last summer was the discovery of the unmarked graves at the Kamloops Residential School, and that sort of sparked off this entire discussion. So if you take a look back at what we've seen and what we've accomplished, if we've accomplished anything over the past 12 months, how would you sum it up?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, Shay, I listen to your show, and I appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for having me. And I'd also like to say and give a big virtual hug to Chief Greg and to Crystal. I'm in very, very, very cool company. So this is a great opportunity to discuss these things. When the Kamloops thing happened, and when it was broadcast all over the news, it was like a gut punch. And the reality is that our people have known this for decades. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Beardies and Okemasis at Duck Lake in Saskatchewan. And my uncle Charlie, before he passed away, and I'm part of the 60 scoop. So when I finally met my biological family, a big missing piece of my life was put together. And when I talked with him, and he went to St. Mike's on our reserve, and he told me years ago about the number of kids that had disappeared and that had died, and they took them out and buried them. So our people have known this within our communities for many, many years, but the broader non-Indigenous community never knew. And I get people saying to me, well, where's the proof? And I'm like, and I get that all the time. And I say, well, we've got the witnesses, the people themselves, the kids who are now adults, obviously, that were forced to go and dig graves in the middle of the night to bury kids. And so much has happened. And you mentioned the papal visit, okay, and that's a start. But the thing is, it ain't reconciliation if it feels good. And at least, Shay, we've opened the door to start.
Interesting.
To start talking about and facing up to it.
Good. Yeah, great point. And you know what, Crystal, Paul makes a point that I think might be my biggest takeaway, at least for the early stages of this after the Kamloops discovery, was, yeah, well, if you'd just been listening for the past many, many years, you would have known this. We've all known this. You just didn't pay attention. Do you think maybe, if nothing else, it's kind of like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should just listen more?
Oh, 100%, Shay. And I just want to echo what Paul said, that this is such a pleasure to be in this sort of company this morning. And going back to one of Greg's comments, that, you know, we are still in this truth-seeking phase that, you know, yes, truth and reconciliation go together. But my observation over the last 14 or 15 months is that Canadians are very quick to jump to the reconciliation bit. And although that is positive, we need that, we still need to better understand the truth. And, you know, as has been said, for decades now, Indigenous communities and survivors have known about these things. And I mean, even the way that we talk about reconciliation, that term has only been used right in the last 15 or 20 years. And so we've been holding government and churches to account the best that we can for over 100 years, right? And there were policies in place, such as the Indian Act, continues to be in place today, as residential schools, such as other forms of genocide, that perhaps historically prevented us from being, you know, front and center in the media. But when we look over this past year, you know, we have had the work of ground penetrating radar. We have had communities taking on this hard work themselves. And I mean, one question that I've heard communities say is like, why do we have to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. we've been through enough, and now we have to jump through the hoops and apply for funding. Now we have to re-traumatize our people. Like, where is the help? But as mentioned, you know, the papal visit, and also the death of the queen, and really, like, conversations that are probably very hard for settler Canadians to think about and to have, talking about the doctrine of discovery, yes. talking about the head of state representations of colonization. So I think that while we're on the right track, there's still a lot of progress that needs to be made.
Paul, Crystal, Chief Desjarlais, I need to take a quick break. Stay where you are. We'll come back. And I want to talk to you about that because I think it's been a very enlightening year for people like me. And you mentioned the papal visit and the Queen and the doctrine and all the rest. I think we've learned a lot. So I want to ask you about what you think has been sort of brought to light and where we might go from here when we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Truth and Reconciliation Roundtable Special on 770 CHQR, Calgary's News, Today's Talk.
We're speaking with Paul Custer, who is a writer and a comedian, former broadcaster and Indigenous advocate. We're speaking with Dr. Crystal Fraser, an assistant professor in the Faculty of Native Studies and Arts at the University of Alberta, and Chief Greg Desjarlais of Frog Lake First Nation. There's so much to get into. I want to ask you about the papal visit. And Chief, I know you were part of that. I know you had family members with you as you greeted the Pope. Just how important was that? What does that signify on Canada's road to truth and reconciliation? Is it a signpost? Is it just something that had to happen? I mean, how do you put it into perspective?
Well, first of all, everybody is unique and different in the world. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. I was honored to be there with my mother, who turns 80 tomorrow. And, you know, for her to hear the apology is important for her healing journey. I know there's many people that were upset. There's many people that didn't like it. But there was many people that did enjoy it and did like it. I was in Lake St. Anne. You could feel the love. You know, as human beings, we have to decide when we want to heal. But part of healing is forgiving. And if you ain't going to forgive, you'll stay stuck and you could get sick. You know, but the papal visit is only a first step mm-hmm. to reconciliation, to healing. I think about the kids that were found in these unmarked graves and the ones that never got to hear. But I believe that when we heal as a human, our ancestors heal as well. And I think it's a great first step to reconciliation, and only to ask what is next from the Canadian government and the church.
And we'll get to that in just a second. Dr. Fraser, the papal visit, does that end the discussion? Because, you know, that was a big part. When we were doing this throughout the year prior to the papal visit, people I heard from said, we need this apology. It's part of the process of healing. Does that close the door to that component of this path that we're all walking?
You know, I don't think it closes the door. I actually think maybe it opens it more for some more conversations, some more communication. And so I definitely agree that, like, a lot of survivors, intergenerational survivors and Indigenous communities, you know, may have experienced a lot of healing. They may have let go pain by simply hearing that apology, which, you know, on April 1st from Vatican City, and then again here in July at Muscogee's. And so I don't downplay the seriousness of that apology and that moment. But, you know, I also think there are bigger conversations to be had, such as, you know, how the Pope handled the visit, how the Canadian government handled the visit, you know, paving roads, you know, the day before, spending millions of dollars. Additionally, some of the words that the Pope said, such as, you know, the Catholic Church needs to investigate what happened. Well, we already had a multi-million dollar investigation called the PRC. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, interestingly, my colleague, Matthew Wildcat at the University of Alberta, he wrote a piece suggesting that maybe it's time that Indigenous communities rethink our overall relationship with the Catholic Church. And I mean, I have also said that in relationship to the monarchy. And so I think that the Pope's tour was definitely a good thing. But again, I think it's a starting point.
Paul, what about you? I mean, you watched it all unfold, and what were your thoughts? What were your impressions of it?
Oh, boy. Conflicting views, because I understand the sacredness of that position within the Catholic Church. I mean, the Pope is supposed to be God's representative here on Earth, so
right.
that's a powerful position. And I agree with what Crystal just said, though the words that he spoke, and I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong. I think in a way he deflected a little bit when he said, you know, this was just a percentage or a small, a few bad apples that perpetrated these things. Didn't he say something
he
along those lines?
Some things he did. He definitely did. Yes.
And the thing is, this was, I mean, it was instituted, hand in hand, the church and the state, they went into, this whole thing about residential schools together, because mm-hmm. they saw us, as we all know, they called us savages, they called us heathens, they treated us as inferiors, and that was so that I don't think that flies, that it was a small number. It was a huge number, because we had so many of these schools across the country. Now the apology, that's I accept his apology. That's a good start, but where do we go from here? And I don't want the door to be closed. And I agree with Crystal. I think it opens the door more. And we really have to think now, where do we go from here in terms of the Indigenous community and these institutions like the church, like the monarchy? How do we deal with that? Because this all stems from colonialism. This all comes from somewhere, and of course we've seen the impacts that it's had within our communities. And but the other thing that I find really interesting is the royal proclamation, and King I think it was King George III at that time, when they came here to Canada, they entered into an agreement, like they in their official records, they recognized us as being sovereign nations with our own languages, and that we had to be dealt with as equals. And that was back from 1763, and not a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
That it actually started off on mutual respect, and then of course it got turned
side.
It went completely somewhere else. So, and so I think people need to realize that we got off on the right foot, but things went sideways, including with the church.
And you say, where do we go from here? And I think that's the focus.
You're listening to the Truth and Reconciliation Roundtable Special on 770 CHQR, Calgary's News, Today's Talk.
Reconciliation in Canada, where we've come over the past year. Now we're going to talk about where we still have to go. Joining us to have this conversation, we have Chief Greg Desjarlais of the Frog Lake First Nation, Dr. Crystal Fraser, who's an assistant professor at the Faculty of Native Studies and the Faculty of Arts at the U of A, and Paul Custer, a Calgary writer, comedian, former broadcaster, and Indigenous advocate. And you had a couple of things that you thought were important, Paul, things we need to be turning our attention to as we move forward, taking a look where we were, but there's still so much work left to be done. What do we need to be focused on now?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. There's just so much. I was just reading through the Beyond 94. I don't know if you heard about that, and it's this publication about what has actually been accomplished with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's 94 calls to action. We've only achieved a very small number of those, and it's such a wide-spanning spectrum of hardcore issues that face our communities, like child welfare, the social ills that still plague our communities. And I only have to mention now the name Saskatchewan, because we know what went down on Labor Day weekend with the Sanderson brothers. Mm-hmm. Those guys were products of intergenerational trauma, because it turned out that Miles, as we all know now, he was abused by his parents. Then he got taken away and he was abused by his grandparents. This is so typical within our communities. There's a movement called Bring the Children Home, based out of Saskatchewan, that I have participated in. And it's wonderful to think of bringing our children back to our communities. But you have to think, what are we bringing them back to? Because right. There's still rampant poverty. There's still boil water advisories. There, crystal meth is overtaking a lot of our small communities. So how do you tackle that? Well, that's part of Truth and Reconciliation and these calls to action. The documents are great, but what is actually being done? Do we solve it by pumping more money? Because sometimes when you pump money into things, it goes to administration costs, and it just gets watered down. And are we actually, in the end, are we actually helping?
Is it helping
the people? Yeah.
Chief, what about that? You're the chief of Frog Lake First Nation, and I'm sure a lot of the issues that Paul is outlining and we've heard about affect your community too. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, when you look at these survivors and the generational trauma, it's a learned behavior. So if you're sexually abused and you're taught that behavior is normal, you bring that home to your reserve, mm-hmm. and you carry that on. That's the generational trauma. You know, you're passing that on to your family, and then it's deemed normal. That's where a lot of things are stemmed from, is the residential school. You know, you look at that movie Indian Horse, where that kid gets his braids cut off and soap thrown at them. You hear these stories. You're at the whelm of the school, the nuns, the priests, a 6-year-old. Here you have to act like an adult, you know. And I think money is a start. You know, in Frog Lake, I get $236,000 per housing per year for a 3,400 band member list. We have 400 plus homes. If it wasn't for our oil and gas company, we wouldn't have built the homes we have. You know what? What our people need is these workshops. A lot of people lost their parenting skills, even, yeah, my friends. Yeah. You look at that remand center, there's no correction in that. Our people need these facilities to heal as a family unit. And you're exactly right, my friend, in Calgary. What are we going to bring our kids home? That's why I say, is the government really there to help us, or they're there to keep us down? You know, if you look at the resources of Alberta, First Nations don't benefit. We're the poorest SOBs around. And now we are beggars in our own country. You know, and all the things that are against us, you know, we live in poverty, but we are so resilient and kind. It's been taken advantage of time and time again. You know, so I think we have to look at programming. We have to look at housing, infrastructure. We're 50, 60 years behind any town, any municipality, you know, and that's part of the devolution process. That's always existed, where we're out of the child. That's still the agenda of the government here in Canada.
Dr. Fraser, Chief Desjardins makes a point that I think is really vital. I don't know if it's an education program he's alluding to or I'm thinking of, just those resources that he says are lacking in some of the communities because they were taken away for so many generations. How important is it to try and to reinstall some of that, you know, like he's talking about breaking that cycle through education?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was former TRC commissioner Marie Sinclair who said that education got us into this problem, right, and education is going to get us out of this problem. And he's talked about looking seven generations ahead in that regard. And so that is definitely one of the key points. But, you know, something that Greg just said, you know, is the government there to help us or is it there to bring us down? Like I literally got goosebumps when he said that, because it is so true, and there is change needed across the board in a systemic way. And so, you know, we look at healthcare. The death of Joyce Echaquan continues to make headlines in the news. We look at First Nations and other Indigenous communities not having access to clean drinking water. We look at, you know, the fundamentally white supremacist nature of policing bodies such as the RCMP. But we also look at other things, you know, provincially, there has been a lot of backlash around new curriculum. You know, how are we teaching settler Canadian children about these things? And then additionally, you know, back to the 94 calls to action that pre-Kamloops, you know,
sort of sat on a shelf,
nine. Eight or nine of those had been implemented post-Kamloops, you know, including the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, a federal holiday. That was implemented, and we're now five or six more calls to action further along. But for instance, you know, it took a couple of days to get a national holiday to mourn the death of Queen Elizabeth, where it took years and years and years of advocacy just to recognize Orange Shirt Day on September 30th.
Yeah, you all make such wonderful points.
You're listening to the Truth and Reconciliation Roundtable Special on 770 CHQR, Calgary's News, Today's Talk.
Desjardins of Frog Lake First Nation, Paul Custer, who is a writer in Calgary, a comedian, former broadcaster, an Indigenous advocate, and Dr. Crystal Fraser, an assistant professor at the Faculty of Native Studies and the Faculty of Arts at the University of Alberta. Dr. Fraser, and I think all of you might have mentioned it at some point through our discussion this morning, the monarchy and how it fits into this. And of course, we all know with the death of the Queen, this has been a topic that's been talked about in our country. I mean, in terms of how it fits into the whole truth and reconciliation, it plays a role, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. And I mean, you know, the reality is that King Charles III, you know, he is still the head of state of Canada. And as we look in the past at the reign of Queen Elizabeth, and then, of course, her forecomers and ancestors. I mean, really, we have a long history of a relationship with the crown. I mean, of course, the things that we think about are the negotiation and the signings of treaties, how we came up with land agreements. But, you know, additionally, over the last 150 years, we've also had a lot of things that have happened with the British Empire as the head of state in Canada. And that included, you know, forced starvation policies on the plains, forced relocations of Inuit in the north, broken treaty promises, of course, residential schools, forced sterilizations, etc. And so, I mean, do I think that, you know, Queen Elizabeth is responsible for all of these things as a person? No, I don't. Do I think that the British monarchy has a responsibility to step up and to work with the Canadian government in this way? Absolutely.
And Paul, you mentioned that too. What, I mean, is that your thinking as well? There is a role for the monarchy to play here to try and restore, you know, that reconciliation that we talk about.
Well, yeah, it's hard to, no pun intended, to reconcile, because the monarchy, this is all born out of imperialism and colonialism. So was Queen Elizabeth, was she personally responsible? No. Was she an evil-minded person? No. But it's what that crown represents. And I think I think King Charles now, he has a responsibility to take an active role to change what happened in our past so that we can move forward in this spirit of truth and reconciliation. And I think he has to own up to the truth about their legacy being a monarchy. So what does that mean for our people and the British Crown? I think there is repair work that needs to be done. And I'm hoping that he takes an actual active role and makes it a priority. But I'm not sure if he's ever going to do that.
Right. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Chief, are we better off in September of 2022 than we were in 2021? Have we taken some meaningful steps? I recognize there's a long way to go yet, but are we better off?
Well, I would say it's one step. You know, are we better off? It's hard to say. You know what? And I think that, you know what? When you look at the world and what's happening at the world and the power struggles and, you know, the big countries, and you look at, you guys were talking about the monarchy.
Yeah.
And we talk about when we entered into a peace treaty, you know, we have different versions of that. You know, we never ceded or surrendered our land. You know, and our kind.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.